This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swann hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 191. We just made the joke before, and like, we're not doing anything to celebrate 200 because we're not going to be able to. So,
yeah,
just
we'll do a silent celebration.
We'll do something. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. Obviously, we are, you know, basically, give or take a few games, 15, 18 games into the season, and maybe you can extrapolate some stuff from it. Maybe you can't. We're going to talk, get a little bit of an update on our teams. We'll talk a little bit about jinxing a no-hitter, but we really will get into your first trip to Fenway in a long time, and then we actually want to touch on the Masters, and then later this week we'll drop another episode and do a little bit of analysis on the Netflix series that's basically like Hard Knocks for the Red Sox that is generating quite a bit of buzz, but I got to catch up on the episode, so we'll save that for Friday. I don't feel great about the Sox going into Chicago and only eking out one win, and so
they were slightly worse than the Yankees last week. The Red Sox
just slightly. So I mean, the Yankees have issues, and the AL East is going to be a slog. I mean, we had BJ Fennella, our former boss, who's a good friend of ours. He's actually been on the podcast. He's like, "You guys are going to talk about how bad the American League is?"
Yeah, in general, the American League.
Yeah, and I mean, and the funny thing is, I hadn't really thought about it, but when you think about who are the great teams in the American League, whereas like you could think of the National League, you think Mets, Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers aren't even in first.
Yeah, the big surprise in the National League obviously is the Braves, and. You know, the American League is funny because as we look at the American League East, you know, basically a tenth of the way through the season it's exact opposite of what you and I were basically talking about. I mean, you had Baltimore up high and their dregs in the basement, and we were both laughing at Toronto pretty much.
Right. But now it's early.
It's early. Super early, and the weather's cold, and there's all that issues, and teams playing in Tampa in that little bandbox, and teams playing in Sacramento in the little bandbox that's proving to be home run alley and driving up runs and all that. So there's time. It will all come out in the wash, right? But it's interesting to see that the Red Sox and Yankees are kind of in the same position as far as like the issues they have. The Red Sox, I feel like it's more of a defensive thing, where the Yankees, it's coming down to injuries and poor pitching, really.
Right. Well, but when I think about the NBA dynamic that's been the case in recent history is that the Eastern Conference is thin and the Western Conference is loaded. And it's even true now. If you look at the eighth best team in the West compared to the eighth best team in the East in the NBA, and there's no comparison. And then as of Monday, in baseball, there's like five teams in the National League with at least 10 wins, and there's none in the American League. Now, you could say that that's parity, and then there's too many good teams and too many bad teams in the NL. But like when I really think about it, I don't have any respect for any teams in the Central, because until they do something, then I'm not going to respect it. And the Astros are struggling, and the Rangers are okay. And then, and like you said, like we thought the Blue Jays were going to be terrible, and they find themselves barely in first place, but in first place in the AL. And then, I mean, look at the NL West. The NL West has four out of five teams over 500.
Yeah, and the Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers have been playing bad as of late, and obviously it shows that, the all-star lineup that you put on the field is as good as the injuries that are off, that take them off the field, right? You lose Freddie Freeman a little bit, your pitching gets a little banged up. Problems start to happen, but Chicago Cubs, I feel like, are the big surprise there. They're playing over their ceiling right now. They did just lose a pitcher, Tommy John surgery, Justin Steele, so that is not going to help their cause. But what's going to help their cause is they're going to be done playing the Dodgers and the Padres after this one. They won't play them again.
Oh, really?
The rest of the year. So they're getting their dirty laundry out of the way real quick. That being said, right now those two teams are huge powerhouses in the NL. Obviously, the Padres are surprising a lot of people, I think. But great young core. Just lost Jackson Merrill for some time, who's one of their big stars. But let's get back to the Yankees and the Red Sox,
yeah.
Because that's what we're obviously here to talk about. As I look at the Yankees and I see their pitching is terrible, right? The pitching has no length. The ERA sucks. They're like 25th in baseball. Red Sox are middle of the road with ERA. But if I look at the Yankees now, you got Judge and Goldschmidt that are basically carrying your team. And their pitching stinks. No length, bad ERA. And all of a sudden, Marcus Stroman has like probably one of the worst outings in the last, probably one of the worst in his career, really. Terrible. And all of a sudden, he has a mystery illness. And he's on the IL, which a lot of people are kind of, saying, is this really an illness, or is this basically saying, get your act together, kid? This has not been good from the start with you. You got to figure your mind out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't pay as much attention as I should to
the Yankees. It just seems a little suspicious to me.
Of course. I mean, it's the same thing we were talking about with Devers. And, I mean, he recovered, and then he's sort of back down. But, I mean, the Red Sox have just a lot of guys that are really strong. I mean, Acostas, you can't have your starting first baseman under 200. They're getting no production from catcher, really, and we kind of
lost one of their catchers.
Yeah,
right?
So I mean, it's a really tough spot, and I mean, I don't know. Duran maybe can heat up or whatever. And I love Willy Abreu, man. I love that guy, and I've talked about it. Like, he's the one guy I can get behind. Bregman and Story have been pretty good, but I mean, if Costas is hitting like this in June, I don't know what you got to try. I mean, I'm not saying like Bobby. But you got to do something, because that's a power position,
yeah.
And you need offensive production out of that position. You have to have it.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell, like you say, if there will be someone in the minors ready to come up and assume a different spot
in
the infield or something.
Terrible. Like,
yeah.
Terrible. Batting 185 as of Monday.
It's tough. I feel like early in the season, they have not been playing in good weather.
But the other team plays in the bad weather, too, and they're still losing the game.
So. True. It's early. But again, like you said, the production part in the Red Sox is not good. And, other than Goldschmidt and Judge for the Yankees, the production really isn't there. It's sporadic.
Yeah.
Very sporadic. But there's nobody consistent. But I worry about the pitching with the Yankees, because I worry big about Devin Williams, who has absolutely done nothing. Like, he has not done anything. He's been absolute garbage. He finally got a save after five appearances, which was a very shaky one. He couldn't get out of the... he couldn't get out like of a four-run lead he had against Detroit.
Yeah.
Couldn't get out of that. Very shaky. I think people attribute that to being on a new team and higher pressure. I mean, I see a lot of it coming down to just you got rattled. You got hit. Class A is going through the same stuff right now with Cleveland. He got rattled in the playoffs against Judge and Stanton.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could have a lingering effect. I mean, I guess we're all soft now. Garrett Crochet is the real
deal.
Garrett Crochet is the real deal, though.
Garrett Crochet is the real deal.
He's good. And I think that obviously he was amped up to pitch in Chicago, but he's had a good start, and I think that's probably the best thing you can say. I mean, Walker Buehler hasn't been very good, and we're still waiting for the Tanner Houck's and to to be what we thought they'd be. But I kind of like, it's too early for me to pass too much judgment. So I'm just basically saying that it was discouraging to go into Chicago and not win the series. But I'm certainly not going to, you know, end the season there. But
You can't pass judgment anywhere except what the teams that are really struggling are doing. You know, like the teams that you know are struggling, the Rockies. You know, Pittsburgh, I feel like, should be playing better. Obviously, Atlanta. Like, Atlanta could really be sticking a knife in their back. I mean, they're 6 games out in one of the strongest divisions in baseball as far as talent-wise.
You do the numbers. They're 7 games under 500 after 15 games. You do the numbers of what they need to do to win 90, and it's not easy. Yeah. Like, they're going to have to play really well to chip away at it and to me, to jump over every team. But I want to go back to Crochet for a second because, it's one of those things where it is classic. It is like you can bank on it. When somebody's pitching a no-no and you start talking about it, it ends. It's like you can bank on it. And what was it, like less than 5 minutes after you texted?
Totally less. It was the next batter, I feel like. And it was the batter he got traded for in the trade that sent him over there.
I would say you're like, someone else texted me like, are you watching the Red Sox? My dad did. And I was like, no, why? And then I look it up and I'm like, don't. I was like, shh. And then you did. And I'm like, shh. And then, of course, he gives it up. Thank goodness they won the game. Because sometimes once you let up that first hit, the wheels can come off.
But, I mean, come on. Is it really – in baseball, it happens too much. It happens way too much in baseball.
I believe in the superstition. And I love the fact that nobody talks to the guy in the dugout
stuff. On the field, it's like a given, right? On the field, it's almost a given because it's baseball lore. But, like – in a way, like off the field amongst fans, it's like I feel like you have to start doing that because I almost like feel like every time we get in a text string over the last like 5 years and start talking about
it's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over quicker than a text. Sometimes the text doesn't even go through.
I know. So, I really believe in it. I don't know why, and it's so dumb.
The jinx.
There really seems to be true. And I mean, I literally had 3 different text threads. Well, my dad's not a thread, is direct, who sent something to me related to Crochet's no-hitter, and they were all within, like, honestly, like 3 minutes of each other. And then within 3 minutes, it was all over. It was kind of hysterical. Although the odds of pitching a no-hitter relative to overall starts, I mean, the odds are he was going to give up a hit, but he was in the 8th inning for crying out loud.
Right. And eighth inning is when you really got to start thinking, this guy, and plus if the numbers, like we were watching, I think he was like 85 pitches or something like going into the 8th. And like I'm like, the numbers are there. They're going to let him go regardless of what he was doing in Chicago the year before in innings limits. Like, they're not – Cora's not going to be like, all right.
No, Cora's a player's coach. You'll let him have
we're
it.
We're at 100 pitches. Sorry, we're going to let this turn this over to the bullpen. Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. So it was going to be there.
Yeah, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 191 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I talked about – on my radio show on WTIC News Talk 1080. You can stream it on odyssey.com. Opening day at Fenway was great. And there's only one real complaint I have, which is, and you don't drink, so it's not necessarily an issue for you, but like the concessions are so inefficient and so bad that, and I talked about this last week, my only complaint is that I think they're losing tons of money because I only went to the concessions twice and really once during the game. I did one right before the game because I didn't want to waste time sitting in line. I wanted to be watching the game in the stadium. But you went for the first time in how long?
Oh, boy. I feel like it's probably like 8 years.
Okay.
I think it's been like 8 years since I went opening day 8 years ago. They played like the Orioles.
And?
Speaking of Garrett Crochet, I went on Tuesday night against the Blue Jays. So I think it was probably the weekend after you were there, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the coldest Red Sox games in history, and at least from what they were saying, the last 20 or 25 years, it was like 20, upper 20s by the time the game was over. Crochet was out there in short sleeves. So that being said, I mean, you could count the number of fans in the stadium in your head, right? Like, they'll say there was 18,000 people there, but there was 1,200.
Did you move up to some sweet seats?
The way is, a guy I work with, he has like a package with his kid where they get like part of the time they get standing room only, and like all these different, whatever. But the ones we had were standing room only. And so he was like, well, we'll go in and we're going to be able to sit wherever we want. So beforehand, we got reservation at the Aura Club. To eat up behind home plate, which was respectable. I mean, the food was your typical fare as far as price wise at the stadium, but I got wings. They were like $20, and they were actually really good. Mm. I think it was a little bit higher fare than what you get down.
Is that by the bleacher bar? Like
it's right
it?
Up behind home plate area. Yeah.
Oh, the other side. Okay.
Yeah, on third base to home plate area.
Got it. Okay.
So that was really good, but you know, windy, cold, freezing cold night. So we start by going out of that club and going, I call it the upper deck, but Fenway, the upper deck, it doesn't really exist, really. You know, it's right. Like a grandstand, left side, third base, out of the wind, can put your feet up. It works, but it's colder. You're in the top of the bowl. So we had gotten also seats from a friend. So just in case, which were down lower, right behind home plate. So
because nobody was going.
Nobody's going. But I was like, listen, if there's an issue, if there's ever an issue, we're going to be able to have a seat, right? We can just sit wherever we want. Right. So we spent half the game up in there, and then we spent the second half of the game down behind home plate, which they call the grandstands, which is basically, if you go to Yankee Stadium, they're great box seats. Now, you talked about standing in line for concessions, right? We go from, like, I'll call it the upper deck down to, like, the seats right behind home plate. And there's no one there. It took us, like, 30 seconds to get there. And I remember looking at my friend being like, this is great, dude. I'm like, if we were at Yankee Stadium, we'd still be walking.
Still be on an escalator somewhere.
Walking down the ramps. It's a 10-minute escapade to get down there. So that part is great, right? So then we get down behind home plate, and this is where the fun starts, right? This is when guys like me who are 6'2 with long legs really like to have fun and enjoy their time at Fenway, right? And I get...
You put your feet over the other
seat. Well, good thing I had no one around me to do that.
But it's tight.
Oh, my God, dude. Listen, this is where my criticism really starts at Fenway. Now, it's nothing new what you're going to hear, but you're going to hear it from a non-biased fan who's been there for 8 years. It is a Yankees fan, but I'm going to go by ballpark, and I've been to a lot of them. Right. This is the oldest park in baseball. What, built 1913? It's time to move on. Figure it out. Right. What the hell are we doing?
Well, they're never going to knock it down.
Well, they're going to have to do something. Right.
I thought they already kind of had.
It's garbage, dude. If you're going to go there and spend whatever amount of money, if it's $5, you're spending too much money to sit there with your knees up in your throat. Well, if your only way you're going to have a good time is if you're a 10-year-old kid. Right. That's the only way you're going to have a good time. A 10-year-old kid or a midget. It's a joke. What are we doing here? You're going to spend this much money, and you're either going to sit behind home plate, you're going to walk in. Oh, wow, we just flew in from California. I can't wait to see Fenway Park. You know, here comes the 225-pound guy with his family, and next thing you know, oh, boy, my time at Fenway was awesome. I'm never coming back. What a garbage operation.
Well, they're not going to take out seating capacity.
Well, they got to figure out something. They can't take out seating because you're going to lose money. Right. But they're still selling a seat behind a freaking pole. The balls of that organization to sell that seat to people and sit there.
Hey, they let you
Craig
know.
Craig Breslow and all those guys, Sam Kennedy, can sit up there in that box in their nice warm atmosphere on their 17 iPads and look down there and notice some schlub sitting behind a freaking girder, dude.
I know.
Girder.
First of all, they
they'll come back so they can sing Sweet Caroline Drunk in the seventh inning or whatever it is.
Okay.
What a joke.
Okay.
What a joke.
Right.
I haven't even got to the part where you're sitting sideways to watch the game.
Well, that's true. There is, especially if I think you're in the right field.
God, dude.
If you're
do
in the
something.
Right, if you're in the right field grandstand, you are facing the monster.
It's a joke. But at what point when they built this in 1913?
12, I think it's 1912.
Did they think to themselves like, oh, well, you know what? Over here, like, I think everyone's going to just like to stare at center field for the next 2.5 hours.
I'm telling you, the weird part of it is, and this is this sort of play. I don't share your sentiment, although I remember going to a game in college. One of my buddies is 6'6", and it was like embarrassing,
dude. 5'6" is embarrassing.
It was worse.
5'6"
It was worse than they put in a couple thousand new seats when the new ownership came in. Although I feel like they stopped rotating through. The bottom line is not a fan friendly.
Did I miss
place
something
to go.
In American history? Did we all just grow to 6 feet in like 19?
Well, kind of.
I mean,
the average,
no.
The average height.
No.
The average height
no.
of the Civil War
we
was like 5'6".
We were not all
six.
Midgets in the early 1900s. We were all not midgets.
The average height has gone considerably up in the last 100 years.
The people who built Fenway Park are dumber than the people that built the roads in Connecticut.
I love when he's mad.
Awful, dude. I cannot believe the fact that you would spend money to sit there and think you're enjoying your time there. You can't. You cannot do it. It's impossible, dude. You cannot feel comfortable in that stadium. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work unless you're standing and your back's going
to
hurt.
I still like going, but what it speaks to me is the arrogance of the organization.
Exactly.
Like, to me, like, I don't mind. I've been dealing with my whole life, and I like going there, and I like being outside and having a beer and watching the Red Sox play. So I'm 6 feet tall. I'm not 6'2", and it's never totally comfortable, but I just make sure I get, whenever I can, I get an aisle seat, because that's the problem. If I have an aisle seat, then I'm usually pretty good.
Is it more enjoyable when you're drunk or buzzed?
It is.
I mean, it probably helps. It probably helps. But you know what? If I'm sitting there and the guy next to me is really tanked and he's falling all over himself,
oh, yeah.
I mean, dude,
it's awful.
It's bad enough at Yankee Stadium, which actually has some space.
Did I talk on the? I always mix up when I'm talking to Matt Sarois, our producer on my radio show, and you. Did I talk about the shoey last week?
Yes, talked about the shoey.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who just want to go there and drink as much. It's like going to Vegas when you don't think about that this chip is $25.
Yeah.
People don't think about the fact that they just bought this beer for $20 and they go there for the experience. But that's my whole thing, is that as long as Fenway is a tourist attraction, it will never face its demons. Because they won't have to, because they'll still make money. And that's my problem with the organization, is that they don't truly address the fan, because they are allowed to have this leeway because the jack wagons from Iowa want to take little Johnny to see Fenway Park.
It's not even that, though. I've been bitching about this same thing, like, not to this extent, but to my coworkers, right, who go to these games, and they vehemently defend it. Oh, it's the nostalgia of the place. It's the nostalgia of the place. I don't see people driving around freaking bicycles to go to Boston from Connecticut. How's that for nostalgia? You get in an automobile, you get in a gasoline or electric car, and you get up there. You don't want to go to a game and sit there and pay $150 so you can say it's nostalgia. Go to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
His name is John Senecal.
Fix it.
Don't let him near your dog, because he might kick it.
No, I love dogs. I love dogs. I would never kick a dog unless it was biting me. But come on. I mean, seriously. Someone's got to say it. And then they keep coming back, and they keep coming back, and they keep coming back.
I can't wait to hear some responses. You know, I always get some feedback from listeners, and I can't wait to hear the feedback on this one. I'm not even going to respond. I'm going to let it sit where it is.
There's got to be a way to fix it, though.
Well, they're not going to fix it. He's young, until nobody shows up. They're not.
They literally have to have no one. You're right, though, Brian. You are 150% right. And the only way that will get fixed is if no one goes to the games.
Correct. Yeah. And
because you can sell a seat behind a freaking I-beam.
And if 2 years ago taught you anything, you know, they still made money and they were so horrible. I really don't foresee that pressure for a long, long time.
Sit in Fenway Park.
It is not,
stare at a cooler.
I know. To me,
$200.
To me, it's
people
not.
People will buy it.
I'll just end on this note. To me, the experience is still great. It doesn't bother me. It's the value. There's no value in it, right? So that's where it gets me, is that to pay that kind of money is, to me, unconscionable.
Luxury,
right?
Box. That's really the best place to see it. Or monster seats. I would say that's probably the best seats in the house.
If you've never sat in the monster seats, they might actually, for a one-time deal, be worth the money. It is such a cool experience. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.